Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Elizabeth, I know that you have worked with people with addictions, and I've done the same thing, and I found the same thing to be true, is that release from shame, forgiveness, is a mighty key to people's recovery.
Yes, you know, all compulsive behaviors, even the ones that are more acceptable to society, yeah. Like workaholism,
yes,
for example,
right.
Or perfectionism, they're all coming from the same place. The difference between guilt and shame is that guilt is when we feel bad about something we've done.
Yeah.
Shame is when we feel bad about who we are.
Who we are as a person. I'm a bad person rather than I did a bad thing.
Yes, and it disables us. And sometimes it comes from our homes of origin,
right.
Because we are filled with shame for the way that we were treated, unrealistic expectations, or when people couldn't separate the person from the problem. So
That's
if they disagreed with the problem, they also threw us away as a people,
as
a person.
You know, the truth is that it's not just addictions that come from shame, but there's more research being done on how physical illnesses result from shame as well.
Yes, and see, many times we don't realize the connection
between
body and soul.
That's right.
And it's a very...
It is huge.
It's huge, very strong.
Important. Yes, that's right.
And, you know, this is one of the stories that connects the two in the Gospel of Matthew. And we were in this crescendo, if you remember from yesterday's program, where Matthew is trying to tell us, look, Jesus is powerful. He has
power,
and not just over nature, not just over evil, but in chapter 9, we have over disease, and
we
also have over death.
Yeah. Let's take a look at this, and this is chapter 9, starting with verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven." Let's stop right there.
Yeah, isn't that a weird thing? I mean,
yeah.
When was the last time you went to the doctor and you said, "Hey, I'm feeling sick." Well, your sins are forgiven.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jesus looks at this man. His limbs perhaps are atrophied. Everyone's looking at him and saying, anticipating that Jesus is going to make him walk again because by now his fame is abroad. Mm-hmm. But instead of that, he says, "Your sins are forgiven."
Yeah, see, I am amazed at this because obviously Jesus knew a lot about this man and he has known this burden this man has carried. And we don't know why he became a paralytic, but obviously was related somehow to something or it has paralyzed him.
That's right.
The fears that we develop over the years, they paralyze us.
That's right.
Sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally.
Sometimes physically, because physical paralysis can actually come from fear and guilt and shame.
Yes.
But even emotionally and relationally, we can be paralyzed by those same things.
I think I can tell you that 75% of the people come for counseling have some kind of paralysis.
That's right.
In the sense of, you know, they don't know how to get out of emotional abandonment, of fear of detachment, or whatever it may be.
That's right.
You know, and,
that's right.
So the first thing Jesus does...
He says, "Let's get rid of the shame."
Yeah,
your sins are gone, buddy.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Because the first thing he does, he says, "Look, your status with God is good."
That's right.
Can you believe that?
It is amazing. But, you know, I find that in counseling, when people come to me with addictions and when they come to me with those kinds of things, the very first thing to tell them is that God loves you.
Yes. God is for you. If he had a computer, you would be the background.
That's right.
If he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it.
Yeah, Max Lucado says that. If God had a wallet, your photograph would be in it. If he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on
it. Yes, right.
Know?
And all of a sudden, the person says, Is that true?
Yes.
So from there, from the place of freedom, then you can ask for healing. Because
That's right.
When you go to heal in order to be saved or in order to be right with God, we have it backwards.
That's right.
You know,
right.
First is, this is what God thinks about you.
That's right.
Okay, and so
And some people say, "I got to clean myself up before I can come to God."
It's exactly the contrary.
That's right.
God says, "Look, I love you exactly the way you are."
That's right.
"And you are okay with me.
You come with me and I will clean you up because you can't clean yourself
up. That's right.
You can't do that."
That's right. So here we go on and it says, "Some scribes said to themselves, 'This fellow is blasphemy.'"
Okay.
It's blasphemy. And I want to tell you something about that.
So what is blasphemy here in this context? What do you think that's saying?
Well, you know, blasphemy means that he is saying bad things about God that are heresy, that are not right. That he, you know. But I want to tell you something interesting. This same statement, "Your sins are forgiven," was said in the temple.
In the temple, yes.
When somebody came, brought the sacrifice.
The priest would say this, right?
Yes, like the priest would say, well, this is called the divine passive. God has forgiven you your sins.
Right.
Your sins are forgiven.
They are forgiven.
So their issue was not that Jesus was saying those words. Their issue was that he was saying them out of their own religious system.
That's right. He's not a priest. No sacrifice was given.
No confession was heard.
That's right.
This guy said, your sins are forgiven.
Just blanket.
That's right.
They're gone. Forget it.
That's right. And Jesus knew what they were thinking. He says, what are you thinking evil in your hearts? What is easier to say? And now here he puts them together. Mm-hmm. Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk?
Yeah.
Because in this case, they're going to be, one is going to follow the other.
That's right. But you know what? It would be easier in one sense to say your sins are forgiven because no one can prove that that's not true. But when you say, take up your bed and walk,
yes,
if no one stands up, then obviously you're a phony.
Yeah, and he was the proof.
That's right. So he's going to give them visual proof that the first miracle of forgiveness of sins had actually taken place.
That's right. Isn't that amazing? And look at verse 6. Jesus says, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth. So here he's putting them together. He says to the paralytic, okay, fine, get up, pick up your mat, and go. And he went home.
I'm going to prove that when I said your sins are forgiven, they really were forgiven. And I'm going to prove it by this. Which of you can say to this man, pick up your bed and walk? He said, I'm going to say it. Watch what happens.
Yeah, that's right. And see, for me, it's amazing that Jesus keeps using this title, Son of Man. And if we can talk for a moment about
that. Yeah, the Son of Man is a great title here. And that's what his favorite title for himself was.
Yeah, Jesus always usually calls himself Son of Man. And actually, the Aramaic term really means simply son of a human being or a human being. He's relating himself to humanity. And Jesus did live as a human being.
That's right.
He had needs. He has thirst. He had hunger. He had a mother. He had brothers. So he lived like a human being. But actually, the Son of Man title is a lot more than simply Jesus is a human being.
That's right. It's kind of a messianic term, isn't it?
It's a messianic term. It's a veiled messianic term.
That's right.
I mean, actually, there was a prophecy that there would be the one that would come and take the everlasting kingdom that we've been talking about all this time. He actually would have this title.
The title. And Daniel is really the one who gives us that more than anyone else, doesn't
he? Yeah. See, Daniel is a very prophetic book, and we find a lot about Jesus in Daniel.
And
hopefully very soon we'll do some programs on that as well. But
here we have... I'm looking forward to that. I think that'll be fun.
Yes. And in verse 13 of chapter 7 of Daniel, the Son of Man is presented.
That's right.
Who he is, really. So,
it says, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed.
See, here we have
him. This is Jesus, yeah.
That's right. He's being given authority, dominion.
Right.
I mean, a lot of this is in Matthew because Matthew is trying to show that Jesus has authority,
that
the authority is a lot bigger than simply a miracle worker.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, the miracles are nice, but he's saying Jesus is actually bigger than the act of the
that's
miracle.
That's right. Actually, the Son of Man in Daniel is the messianic title, is a king that is coming, will be given all dominion. And actually, it's interesting because we have visualizations of the second coming here.
That's
and behold, with
the clouds of heaven,
he's coming.
Comes before the Ancient of Days, God the Father.
Yes. And so here Jesus, who loves to be one of us.
That's right.
So he always talks of himself as the Son of Man.
Again, we go back to Emmanuel, God with us. He identifies with us.
That's God himself
identifies with me.
Yeah, so even though in Matthew you will see people calling Jesus Son of David.
That's right.
He calls himself
Son of Man. I'm identifying with you.
That's right, identifying with you. And but at the same time, he's saying, yes, I am the one that Daniel had the prophecy about.
That's right.
And so he, going back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 7, this paralytic got up and went home, and when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck. They glorified God who had given such authority to men, and it was not to men, it was to the Son of Man.
That's right, to the Son of Man.
Yeah, so.
And yet even that authority, Jesus himself said that if you believe in me, you will do greater signs than these. So again, that authority, not only does he identify with us, but he has even said, I'm going to give you gifts and abilities that you don't now possess. But still, it all comes from him, right?
Yes, that's right.
Everything's a gift.
And for me, you know, I see myself in this paralytic so much, you know, because Jesus, the first thing he does for me, and when some of the healing in my life started, is when I understood there was nothing I can do to make God love me more, and there was nothing I could do to make him love me less. That he was loving me even in the middle of whatever my problem was.
That's right.
That this was not about, did he love me or not? Do I got to get my act together to come to him? Mm-hmm. It wasn't about that.
No, it's not. You know how difficult that is to accept. You know how difficult it is to believe. Now, I'm a pastor and a counselor, and I can say that to people over and over and over again, but truthfully, even though I know that's true for them, it's harder for me to accept it for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I see people being freed. I've been freed by this.
And I have too.
And I have seen people start their process of recovery, whether it's addictions or any emotional recovery or family systems that are dysfunctional. Once they understand that this is not in order to
be saved. To be saved.
But they're already saved in Jesus Christ. Now they can go on with
their lives. It's a result of it. It gives evidence to the fact that you have been forgiven, you have been saved. And so if you find yourself paralyzed, if you find yourself unable to do anything for yourself, give thanks to God, because now He can work in your life. He's going to do something spectacular for you. He will forgive you.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.
Woohoo!